This dance was recorded on the 17th of February, 1956, prior to the fragment for Rose Creek, Neil and Leslie Flint.
Communicator, Dr. Charles Marshall. This seance was held after an Act of Parliament had been passed abolishing the sentence of death by hanging. There is a hum on the original tape, therefore this is not a very good copy.
Hello, Doctor dear.
Hello, Rosie.
Yes, wonderful result.
Yes, we're very highly delighted. It's been a very hard task, but we've seen it through.
Yes. Just by pressing, is that it?
Well, obviously, it's been a long job, but the last few days have been rather hectic, in as much that we've all banded together in tremendous numbers and strength to impress on the minds, particularly of those who were not easy.
Yes?
But we won.
Oh.
Pretty hard going, but we won.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, bless you all, Dr. Dear.
One or two we had to work very hard on.
I wonder how
we've got a majority anyway, a pretty good majority.
Yes.
So it's passed and it passes all right.
Oh, yes.
So it means that we shan't have that anymore.
Oh, good. I hope the result of it will be all right.
I'm sure it will.
You think so?
I'm sure it will.
Mm.
I think it's a wonderful thing, because it's serving no good purpose to send people over here in that manner.
Yeah.
Two wrongs never make a right.
No, quite.
The old dispensation of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Oh, no.
It's all wrong.
That was in the olden days.
I know, but a lot of people still thought that way, you know.
Yes, I know.
Well, let's talk about something else, huh?
Well, what I want to know, Doctor, you know these people that are murdered, they go over, executed, and they go over. And before their time, is there anything like that they have to haunt the earth with until their proper time comes to go?
No. They don't have to do any haunting whatsoever. And there's always a number of souls from this side to help them over. But I'm afraid some of the instances, some of the cases have been pretty bad, and we haven't been able to do much for them. In consequence, they have rather haunted the earth, and they have made themselves a nuisance, and they have tried to get satisfaction from other people on earth. And in other ways, they've sort of impressed themselves upon people to do things which have not been, of course, to the good. Far from it.
Now, this law that has come through now, does it affect them in any way? Does it make them feel any better, those that have
gone through? Yes, it does. It does help, certainly. Certainly it's done a great deal to lift from many here that feeling that the law is such that it can take away life. I mean, the point is that some of them came here with strong resentment against the law, against the state, and against people and so on. And
yes,
that's changed a great deal of the minds and mentalities of many, and many of those who were on earth bound,
yes,
seeking revenge and seeking to instill their will upon others and a weaker state of mind and make them do things that were to their detriment, a great deal of that has changed and will be changed. In fact, it will do good all the way round. It's very difficult to explain all the different aspects of this case because it is very far-reaching, much more far-reaching than you can realize.
There
are many a person, you know, who
yeah,
is earthbound through the conditions of their passing. And that's why, in the case of the person who was hung,
yeah,
there's a great deal of resentment, a great deal of malice, a great deal of ill will, which has been impinged upon the earth and individuals from those entities. And, well, of course, this will stop all that.
Oh, what a blessing.
You see, you just cannot. You see, the state thinks,
yes,
that it can cut off a life, and that's the end of it. It isn't the end. That's where it really begins, the trouble.
Yes.
You
yes
see, the point is this. There are so many degrees, as you well know, of murder, so many different types of cases, but there are certain types of minds who, I'm afraid, when they get here, they're no better. In fact, they're probably much worse. And in consequence, they haunt the earth condition and try to instill in the minds of weak people on your side to do similar things. You'll notice if you read your papers, as you probably do regularly, that if you get a wave of crime, there's a lot of imitation, a lot of other cases follow up
almost
immediately afterwards.
Yes.
Well, in some instances, and no doubt quite a number of instances, they're due by infiltration of the minds of individuals on this side. Mm. I mean, if you hang a man, you don't cut him off from life, your life, any more than you cut him off, cut him off from this life if he wishes to go on into it. But the point is, a lot of these people hang on to the earth, and they do become, as it were, a kind of bad influence upon people, especially weak-minded people on your side. They instill them to do things which they themselves may have done or would have liked to have done. In fact, you don't cut off crime by hanging a man. You probably add to it.
Yes, we've discovered that. I was wondering, these people who go over like that, it's a wonder that their spirit world doesn't appeal to them when they see the beauty on it, the difference, in a way.
But don't you see, yes, I know that all sounds very nice, but you must always remember what we've always tried to tell you, that a person can only see what he or she is ready or prepared to see. By that I mean to say that if a person is sent over here through some terrible crime, and in consequence they're hung, their mental state is such that it's very difficult for them to see with any clarity. They come here with such strong feelings, such strong emotions, such strong reactions against your side of life and against the world in general.
But to
some extent they're blinded, admittedly.
I'm just saying, upon earth, you want to be blind with rage, can't you? Yes, I understand.
I mean, after all said and done, the majority of people know right from wrong. They may get into a frightful panic or temper or get terribly upset. And they may know they're doing something wrong, but they just can't see right, in a sense.
Yes.
They just go madly on like a blundering bull. And you do get those people who are thrust here like wild animals. And although we do all in our power to help them, to some extent we're limited. And they do cling to the earth. They're very seldom, in fact, in most instances, do they ever leave the earth for perhaps many years. Maybe even in some instances, centuries. The point is that you cannot appreciate or realize in your world the tremendous impact that is made when a person is sent here before that time. A man is intended to live a normal, natural life and to die a natural death. Any violence, any sudden ending to a life is bad. That's why we're always, as you well know, against suicide.
Yes.
You see, you cannot escape from yourself. So many people seem to think they can escape from themselves. They just can't. The point is that you're always up against yourself. You've always got to face up to yourself. No one can avoid facing up to themselves in the end. They may avoid it for a time or think they avoid it, but they don't really. The point is that these souls were thrust in before that time. And they just cannot see further than the earth in many instances.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad that at last we've been able to do something about at least stopping that aspect of it. In wartime, if you could see, if it were possible for you to see, the conditions prevalent around the world in period of war, you'd be appalled. The conditions are so ghastly, so appalling, it's well, beyond description. Thousands of souls being sent out of your life, thrust out of their bodies, before that time, unprepared, in the heat of death, in the heat of madness or of anger, full of bitterness.
That's the next thing that should be concentrated on.
Well, we've been concentrating on that for many years.
Yes.
And we are working very hard in that direction. Certainly, as I think I said to you before, the possibility of an all-out world war is remote. I do think this, and in spite of the fact that atomic energy used in the wrong direction is a terrible thing, I don't think that it ever will be now, because I think that it's too tremendous a thing, it's too much, that no nation or country could possibly win a war. They're all very conscious of the dangers, and I don't think there'll ever be a major war again.
Oh, I hope not.
There may be skirmishes among nations, small things, new terms, small, though of course they themselves are the smallest they may appear, but the point is, there'll be no world war like 1 and 2.
Oh, I wonder why they are allowed to find out all these different atomic things.
Well, I think that's the point is that man is put into the world with free will, and we can't stop him. After all, we have no right to. Man is given the free will to choose for himself, to discover what is there. Look at you, for instance, if I may bring it back to you. I mean, Dashiell, I don't know if anyone is more curious about things than you are. If you understood about nuclear fission and all that, you'd be one of the first to go delving into it.
Thank goodness I don't.
No, sir, I'm glad too. the point is, my dear, that it's only natural.
Yes.
With intelligent people, they should probe and want to know more and more.
Yes.
And after all, you've certainly probed enough, didn't you? I never stop asking questions. I don't have a moment's peace for him.
What?
I don't have a minute's peace for him.
Really? What? May I come over there, you mean?
No, I'm putting your late nose. You don't give me a minute's peace.
Oh, I see.
I always want to know this, that, and the other. No, it's natural that man should be curious. It's natural that man should seek. After all, it's only human nature. Curious and want to know more.
Of course, well, haven't our existence if we didn't try to find it.
The thing is, when you discover things, to use them for the benefit of humanity,
yes,
not for its
it.
Destruction. Anyway, it's been a very happy day so for us, because the outcome of this, although it's been a terrible nightmare, it's a great success. It's wonderful to feel.
Oh, there'll be jollification after the spirit world.
Well, it'll be one evil put aside.
Yes.
I do feel that.
Do all the higher souls, you know, those who are, do they come down and help too? Or is hard,
well,
what I mean?
I know what you mean, but the very highest souls,
yes,
most highly elevated that I know anyway, are very seldom come to Earth. On occasions, very rare occasions, yes. They usually employ ministers, in other words, they employ other souls. It's done by a kind of relay service, you might say.
Yes, yes.
I mean, when you read in the papers about someone who's seen, shall we say, the Virgin Mary or the Master Jesus or
yes.
something like that, it's invariably some other entity, not impersonating, but giving off that sort of aura or the emanation of the entity concerned.
For a certain purpose, I suppose.
Oh, for a definite purpose, yes.
Yes.
You know, so many things happen in your world that must strike you as strange.
Yes, another strange thing is that the marks of a cross and bleeding of a hand, we read that in the papers about some youth who has that every now and again.
Well, I do think this. Of course, there are several answers to a problem like that, to a case like that, that if a person is very, very highly religious, to such an extent that it becomes an absolute obsession, and they think constantly on that line, it's feasible that the body can react. In other words, that they themselves, quite unconsciously, can bring about that sort of condition.
Yes.
There's nothing necessarily psychic about it or miraculous.
The mind
can achieve amazing things, Rose.
I suppose.
Oh,
don't tell me that, Doctor.
Tremendous thing.
I wouldn't say it otherwise.
What?
The mind can, yes, I know.
Now, what are you worrying about now? Now, I suppose you think your mind has created a fictitious chauffeur and comes and talks to you, is it?
Yes, I keep wandering and wandering. I'm quite natural and happy when I'm here. And when I get out of this room, sometimes I think, good Lord, what's the matter with you? You're suffering hallucinations, and so on and so forth. It's terrible to be like
well,
that.
Well, all I can say is, then, Rose, that we're suffering them with you.
That's a good answer.
We're all in the same boat.
I know, but the human body is such a peculiar thing, really.
There
is an answer for something from by these scientists.
I know.
You
well,
know.
One has to face up to all the angles and facts.
Yes.
I mean, after all, we are the last people to deny the fact that the mind of man can do the most remarkable things. But I can assure you that it cannot create such an illusion as Chopin or some soul from this side coming to you and communicating with you. I mean, for instance, you may be in your own room, and I'm not saying that you do, mind you, but you
yes.
might be in your own room and suffer from some hallucination because you're constantly thinking, shall we say, in this case, about Chopin. But it can't produce the voice that other people hear beside you.
No.
And it certainly couldn't produce certain evidences that may be given to you from time to time.
No.
And it certainly won't produce certain phenomena that we hope to give you later on. It certainly couldn't be an hallucination. Oh, no, Rose, you may be a little mad, but you're not that mad.
Okay.
Hallucinations. They should tell me I'm an hallucination.
No, 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 you're very real. I found out all about you, leaving your home address in Hampstead, no.
Yes, well, that's all to the good.
Yes.
But the point is, you see, that I believe that if you wait long enough, truth will reveal itself. The same as I told you, I didn't particularly want to discuss things with my wife. I didn't want to talk to her. I knew eventually that the proofs would come in their own way, in their own time.
Yes.
You see, the fact is that my wife was able to listen to a recording of my voice and was able to recognize it.
Yes,
well, there you are, you see.
It said in the paper that she was overjoyed to hear how like your voice it was.
Well, there you are, my dear.
Oh.
I wish I had to do something about this Chopin entity of yours.
No, Dr. Dear, it's all right. No, I know it's
me. Ah, yes, you say that while you're here. But when you get up into your little green room or your blue room or whatever it is, sometimes you're full of elation. Next moment you cast down in art, you bloody fool, Rose. It's someone impersonating or something. So we have to really do something very, very vital and important the next few weeks. See, we can't give you that little extra something. Really, Rose, you are a problem. Well, we'll see what we can do. I think we'll be satisfied when you actually see Chopin.
Yes.
Or you hear him play his music.
Ah, yes. That will be a wonderful, wonderful day. It will come. I know it will come. Are you there, Mama?
Yes, I'm here.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Now, you see, Mama, just a minute.
It's not so bad, it's so squeaky.
Yes. Yeah,
what is it? I understand you don't know now.
Eh? What?
You think I am, what you say, hallucination?
No,
what is this?
Oh, dear. No, Frederick, I just told the doctor. Oh, well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It is that you think it is all so wonderful you can't believe it.
Yes, that's it.
Well, there are a lot of things that are very wonderful that people believe.
Yes, I do believe it, Frederick, but I'm human after all, you know.
I know, that is what makes you so interesting.